Good morning. This morning's scripture reading is taken from Psalms 42, verses 1 and 2. Psalms 42, verses 1 and 2. As a deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for thee, O Lord, for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?
Good morning. I want to welcome everyone who's here with us today, especially those who may be visiting with us. We're certainly glad that you've come to be with us, and hope and pray that you have an opportunity today to truly praise the Lord and to enter into a time of reflection and study in His Word. And I'd like to just say a special thank you on behalf of all of us here in this church family to the sisters in our congregation who do so much to be a blessing to us all. In the last month, we've had to say goodbye to two very dear people to us, our sister Charlene Stahl and our brother Dave Kramer. And the women of the congregation kind of headed up with the March ladies group, and Karen Jones and that team, along with so many other women in this congregation, have really been a blessing, not only to Charlene and Dave's family, but to all of us by just your hospitality, your generosity, the preparation of food, the wonderful meals that you provide that are so much more than food, that really give us an opportunity to be together and to fellowship together at some very, very key moments in our lives as a church family. And we just all appreciate what goes on all the time with so many in the congregation who provide that kind of service. And I'd just like to say thank you to all of you for what you've done in that regard. In the Antarctic summer of 1908, Sir Ernest Shackleton and three of his companions attempted to travel to the South Pole from the winter quarters where they had been staying. They set off with four ponies to carry their supplies. Weeks later, their ponies dead, and their rations all but exhausted, they turned back toward their base, their goal not accomplished. Before it was over, they would have trekked 127 days across the frozen ground. And on the return journey, it truly was a race against starvation. At one point, Shackleton gave his one biscuit allotted for his daily intake of food to an ailing friend by the name of Frank Wilde, who later wrote in his diary, "All the money that was ever minted would not have bought that biscuit, and the remembrance of that sacrifice will never leave me." Shackleton records that during the last days of their journey, time was spent talking about food. Elaborate feasts, gourmet delights, sumptuous menus. As they staggered along, not knowing whether they would survive, every waking moment was occupied with thoughts of eating. I have never known that kind of hunger. There are people today who experience true, real hunger. There are people who will go to bed tonight hungry, who will wake up in the morning hungry, not knowing if they're going to have enough food, literally, to get through the day, whether there'll be clean water for them. There are people in our world today who do understand that, and perhaps are in a better position to realize what Jesus was getting at when he said, "Blessed are the hungry and the thirsty. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Perhaps they're in a better position than I am to really understand what he was talking about. But for those of us like myself who've lived in pretty much a land of abundance, we have probably seldom, and some of us probably could say almost never, been what you would refer to as desperately hungry. Now, I've had my share of cravings. I'm known to have a pretty good appetite. We were driving out to New Mexico, just going to pull off and get some fast foods, and then we saw that big arrow over there off the side of the road. It said In-N-Out Burger. I hadn't been there for so long. Robert Phillips has been coming by here all the time, showing me his In-N-Out burgers. I haven't had one in so long, and I just had this craving. It's time for a double-double, animal style. It's today. It's going to happen. On the way to New Mexico, French fries, strawberry shake. I mean, we pulled out all the stops. And then, of course, I had to have a Diet Coke to wash it down. Because after all, I don't want too many calories in this meal. So I'll wash down the strawberry shake and the double-double with my Diet Pepsi. Yeah. Oh, my wife's lasagna with Italian sausage. I'm talking craving. I love that. It tastes so good. And when my wife's away and she's out of town and I can't enjoy her sausage, there is that once or twice a year when I've been known to go down and buy a half gallon of chocolate chip ice cream just for myself. Sometimes I take two evenings to eat it. But, you know, it's once or twice a year, it can't be all that bad. And I'm thinking, why is it that the things I crave are so bad for me? Everything I crave is not good for me. Why don't I crave celery? I mean, if I crave celery, I want it covered with chunky peanut butter. You know, why don't I crave green salad with non-fat dressing on it? Why don't I crave Brussels sprouts, I can't even say it, but I crave onion rings and biscuits and gravy and rolls and butter and blizzards from Dairy Queen and all that good stuff. Why is it that I crave those sorts of things? And it reminds me of the hunger and the craving that we so often see in the world, and perhaps honestly, in our honest moments, recognize that we sometimes battle in this world, because if the world knows about one thing, it's about hunger. The world knows how to crave things. The world knows how to be hungry for things and to try to fill those appetites. I mean, people in our world are hungry. They're hungry for lots of stuff. They're hungry for happiness. Who wouldn't be hungry for happiness? We want to be happy. We want to be free from pain. We want to be free from problems. We want to be free from illness. We want to be happy. What could be wrong with that? But it's sometimes the way we try to feed that appetite. But we want to be happy. We want to be significant. People hunger for meaning. Shouldn't you hunger for meaning and purpose in life? There's nothing wrong with that hunger for meaning, again, but sometimes it's the way that what we put in there, what we think is going to fill that hunger and that desire to have some significance and meaning and fulfillment in our life. And we hunger for pleasure. We want to feel good. People want to indulge their senses with whatever will make them feel good in the moment. Sometimes it's with food or with drink or with alcohol or with sensual pleasures or with just any kind of triviality that fills up the time, that takes our mind off something, that in the moment makes me feel good. And I enjoy some kind of personal pleasure, something that makes me happy, something that makes me feel good. We hunger for it, and we hunger for those things in life that seem to hold out so much hope and promise for us. I mean, that's the great hunger in our culture, isn't it? It's the hunger for things. It's the hunger for prosperity and possessions. I mean, we have justified it. Materialism has justified it. It's called the American dream. The American dream. Everybody should want more. Everybody should want that perfect house. Everybody should want fill in the blank. It's justified. There's no guilt here. Everybody can be hungry for things, and things hold out the promise, or money, or advancement, or whatever. That holds out the promise for pleasure. That holds out the promise for happiness. If we can just get those things lined up in the right way, then maybe I can be significant. I can be somebody, and we hunger for things. And it's just the way that the world works. It's just normal. It's just life. It's just the way we are. We're geared up for this. It's just the natural appetites that we feel. And we need to feed. We need to have something that takes care of those hungers. We sometimes simply don't know any better. We just don't. It's just life. It's just the way it is. It doesn't seem to be any harm in it. It doesn't seem to really hurt anybody. We just want to feed on what's going to make us happy or pleasurable or feel good or have some sort of sense of well-being about ourselves. We know hunger and thirst. We know what it is to crave, to want something, to go after something, to make ourselves feel better. And then Jesus comes along And he says what he does in Matthew 5, as we've been studying about life in the kingdom. And it just doesn't, at first, it just doesn't make any sense in this world. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the people who don't have anything. Blessed are the bankrupt. Blessed are the people who have such need before God. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, those who are heartbroken over sin and devastated by sin. They're the people that will be comforted. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. And then we come up to this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For righteousness. They will be filled. Well, let's hear him out on this. What does he mean by this? To hunger and thirst for righteousness. And you open up the books and read what the commentators have to say about it. There are a couple of suggestions that you'll come across. One is that righteousness here is personal righteousness. In other words, we want to hunger and thirst for being good, for acting well, for doing right, acting right, thinking right, godly lives, purity, holiness, personal righteousness, being holy like God is holy. Just a little further in chapter 5 of Matthew, we're at verse 6 today, down around verse 20, Jesus says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you know, you don't have any part in the kingdom of heaven. So there's this thought of personal righteousness. I need to be a better person. I need to be holy like God is holy. I need to be free from sin, free from the desire of sin, free from the control of sin, free from that hunger to commit sin. I need to long to be right with God and to have fellowship with my Creator, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be personally righteous. Others say, well, you know, sometimes personal righteousness may be involved, but what really is being talked about here is the righteousness of God. Jesus is talking about seeking salvation and deliverance and the rule of God in your life. Go on to chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It makes sense. The righteousness of God, for God's will to prevail. That's a good thing to be hungry for. To be hungry for justice and for God's will, for God's rule and kingdom to come into this world, for God to establish his authority, his light in this darkness around us. God's way, to long for that, to hunger and thirst for God's rule. I was looking at those two alternatives, and maybe this is just the easy way out, but I'm thinking, why do you have to choose between those two? Why does it have to be one or the other? It seems to me that it's both. Isn't it really? Isn't hungering and thirsting for righteousness, isn't it ultimately hungering and thirsting for God? Hungering and thirsting for him, to have him, to know him, to consume him. Like the psalmist said in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Hungering and thirsting for God. If I hunger and thirst for God, don't I hunger and thirst for personal righteousness, to be like God? Of course I would. To be holy like God is, to be in fellowship with God, to understand the purity and the righteousness of God. If I hunger and thirst for God, do I not want his kingdom to come, his will to prevail, his righteousness to be established on the earth? Absolutely I do. I want him to take control of my life, to advance his rule even in me, and for his justice to prevail. And so the question that the text leaves me with, and the question that Jesus leaves you with, is simply this. Do I hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do I hunger and thirst for God? You got to be careful answering this question. Because you know the right answer, right? What's the right answer? Of course I hunger and thirst for righteousness. We're in church. We know the right answer here. So, you know, we know how to fill in this blank. How could it be anything? Of course, we hunger and thirst for it. It's the right thing to do. We all understand that. But do I hunger and thirst for God and for righteousness? I'm not talking about a little snack, a little sip. I'm not talking about would I mind being just a little bit better than I am? Or would it be all right with me if God's will prevailed in this world just a little bit more than it prevails? I'm talking about Ernest Shackleton hungry. I'm talking about a guy who says, I'll sell everything I possess for one biscuit. If you would give me that biscuit, I am so hungry for that morsel. Can I have that? Everything I possess, if you will give me that biscuit. That's the kind of hunger I'm talking about. Do I hunger and thirst for God like that man hungered for that biscuit? Like the psalmist said, oh, I got to drink you in, Lord. I'm about to famish. I'm about to fall over from exhaustion. If I could just drink you in like a deer drinks in water in the brook. I need you so desperately. That's hungering and thirsting. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about being ravenous for God. Nothing else in this world will satisfy. Nothing that the world offers. No morsel, no tidbit that they hold out. Nothing that they would counterfeit and place before me. Nothing can satisfy me but God himself. My system demands it. That's the question I've got to ask. What does my mind go to? What dominates my interior life? What am I thinking about day in and day out? Is it about God? Is it about being right with God? Is it about living a life of holiness? Is it about giving God my life and having him work through me? Or am I just caught up in the same mundane day-to-day stuff that everybody else in the world is, that just going along their merry way, and it may not be bad and it may not be evil, but it doesn't look much like the kingdom of heaven. Do I hunger and thirst for God? What do I long for? Do I long to be in the presence of God? Is my greatest hunger to be holy as my God is holy? Do I seek God's will, God's word, God's way, God's face in my life? Do I seek his presence? Do I say like Jesus said in John 4, you know, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. That's what gives me strength. That's what gives me life. I just want to obey my God. I just long to be obedient. Do I say like the true disciple of Jesus, oh, I want to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, for his flesh is true food and his blood is true drink. I need to consume Christ. I need to take him in. I need to feast on who my Lord is and let him control my life. Do I want to feast on that word of God and meditate on it day and night? Or is my mind just caught up with the trivial pursuits of the world and when the next game is coming on and what's happening later in the week? And or do I just say, Lord, do we really have to leave this afternoon? Couldn't we just stay here all day and worship you? Do we have to go have lunch? See, thinking of lunch, should we go here? Should we go there? Am I hungry? Lord, could we just worship you all day today? Could we just stay here together as a church family and be in prayer and praise and worship and singing and read your word? Lord, we can't get enough of you. Brothers and sisters, do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do we just have a ravenous hunger to know God, to be with God, to be with the people of God, to say, God, dominate my life, take me over, use me, let me be obedient to you. Let me hunger for those things that are good and righteous. Establish your rule and kingdom in my life. For they will be filled, Jesus said. Those are the people that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. They will be satisfied. The word is like a word used of an animal. They will be fattened up. In fact, one translation actually says stuffed. They will be stuffed. They will be filled. They will be completely satisfied with everything they need. And that may sound counterintuitive in a world that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled, but it is so true. You stop and think about it. It is true. Who are the people who are really satisfied in this life? Who really find sustenance? It's the people who feast on God. It's always been that way. David, a man who feasted on the Lord, a man who wrote about his longings to be in the presence of God. David is a man who knew satisfaction and fullness in life. Jeremiah, a man whose life circumstances were horrendous at times because of his faithfulness to God. But you read the story of Jeremiah's life and you read his prophecy and you say, here is a man who was satisfied in life. Here is a man who knew the living God. Here is a man who, when he had nothing, had everything he needed and more. Even when he did not have physical food, there was a satisfaction. The Apostle Paul, who says, you know, I've just kind of, everything in my life is just trash. Nothing amounts to anything anymore because I've seen Jesus, and there's just nothing that measures up. There's nothing I want like I want Jesus. I want Jesus more than I want to live. In fact, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. I just want Jesus. And there's a satisfaction in his life, isn't there? He's full. He has everything he needs. He's in prison. He's full. He's being persecuted, left for dead. He's being beaten. And yet, there's a satisfaction, a fullness in his life because he's feasted on the Lord. And of course, the greatest example of all is Jesus, who said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. They're hungry. The disciples go off to get bread. Jesus spends the afternoon talking with the woman at the well about the water of life. And they come back with the food, and Jesus isn't hungry anymore. I have food to eat you don't know about, he said. Hunger for God, for the things of God, to be the Son of God. It's so very, very true. And we look at people in the world, and sometimes we're not talking about bad folks, okay? We're talking about ourselves here and just the natural inclinations. It's not that people are necessarily evil that are trying to fill up their lives with things, but they just don't understand what really is going to give them satisfaction. She was found dead in a foot of water in a bathtub, with drugs in her body. One of the most gifted singers of a generation. A woman who had set records in the Billboard charts, who was beautiful, who was rich. Now, what an end for the life of Whitney Houston. No, but that's just kind of extreme. You know, she just went a little too far. She just went a little too far in her pursuit of things. And yes, of course she did. And with the onset of drugs and so forth, there came the abrupt end of her life. But it's a parable and it's a picture. If we back off from that as an extreme example, just to say, but what ultimately happens to people whose greatest appetites for pleasure or money or some sort of worldly significance, they come up empty. It just falls short. There's no satisfaction there. It just doesn't fill them. And it's because they're not feeding on the very things that God knows will enrich our souls. Those things that make us like Him. We're created for those appetites, for those spiritual appetites. They're not foreign to our system. The fall and sin and our carnal nature make it sound so upside down to long for righteousness in God, but it's what we were created for, and that's why there's no satisfaction any other way. Nothing else will do. Nothing ever else will do because God created us to hunger for Him. And the only ultimate completion and satisfaction and fullness that we can ever know is when we finally develop our appetite for God and for righteousness. What am I hungry for? What am I hungry for? What am I craving today? I know the right answer. I know the answer I'm supposed to give. What does my life say? What does my schedule this week say? The things I'm thinking about and what I'm trying to get in life and what I'm trying to accomplish in the course that I'm following right now, what does that say I am hungry for? And it may be your appetite isn't what it ought to be and you know it. You might be sitting here today saying, yeah, I hear all of that, but you know what? I don't know if I've ever had that hunger. How do you develop that, you know? I've got a niece who loves these things. What are those little peas or things that our niece Nora, it's like she craves this stuff. I'm thinking, what's wrong with this kid? She doesn't want candy. She doesn't want ice cream. She wants these little vegetable things. You know, it's like her mom and dad are training her what she ought to like. So I guess my mother's the problem here for my craving of onion rings. I'll have to get on to her about that. But I've seen some young mothers here who are training their kids to like things that are actually good for them. And I thought, well, wouldn't that be a trip to crave that kind of stuff? That's so wonderful. And Jesus says, you know, this is how you develop the right kind of attitude. He says, it's going to sound crazy, but it starts by being poor in spirit. It starts by realizing how spiritually bankrupt you are before God, that you've got nothing to offer this guy, that you're nothing because of sin in front of this God, that you have nothing to bring to him, and to realize your sorry state. Now, that doesn't sound like a really great, auspicious beginning, but Jesus said that's the first step into the door. That's the entrance door to the kingdom of heaven, is to realize that that's where you really are apart from your God, and then to be so sorry and to mourn over the sin in your life and what sin has done to you and how Satan has deceived you and how sin has devastated the world around you, and to mourn for that and to be heartbroken about it as God is heartbroken about it. Those are the folks, Jesus said, who can begin to find comfort, those who mourn. And then take all of your passions and desires, those things, your strengths that you typically spend on yourself to get your way, to assert your will, and in meekness, submit them to the power and control of the living God, and you'll begin to know the blessings, the true blessings of this earth. And at that point, you will begin to hunger and thirst for what you really need in this life. To hunger and thirst for the living God. Listen to the call of God from Isaiah 55. Come, all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, you poor in spirit, you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will freely pardon. What are you hungry for today? God says, I've got a feast. I've got so much I want you to enjoy. Will you just come and eat? I know you don't have any money. I've taken care of that. It's here. It's available. He's offered it to us through Jesus Christ. If you've never come into that life in Jesus Christ, it begins by recognizing your spiritual bankruptcy, your need for forgiveness, a sorrow for sin that will lead you to repent, and then to come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness, for cleansing, to be washed pure by his blood, to confess him as Lord and Savior, Son of God, and to be baptized into his body in his name and by his power, to have new life, to come into a new life in the kingdom of God, and to hunger and thirst for the God who loves you so. And those of us who've begun that journey perhaps years ago, let's be considering our appetites today. Are we hungry for the things that we need to be hungry for? Do we need to come back to the Lord? Do we need to make some corrections in our lives? For blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. Let's stand as we sing.